I loved it. I went back to that spot at the end of our laneway. At the end of our laneway last night, I went back to that spot. So, folks, okay? Remember, this is the spot where I looked up, saw the stars, the moon, and I could identify all the family farms and all the different, the diversity, all the places where I get good candy. Okay, I went back to that spot, and I took a picture, and there it is. Pretty serene picture, isn't it, right? Does that look like a serene picture? Yeah? Okay. Right here is where I would stand. The sign that says no trespassing. Okay? Water body back there. Cameras lagoons. Okay, Mark, take the next picture. Okay. See over there that sort of lump of stuff? That's where my home was. This, you can't really see it very well, but that whole area up there has been stripped. The farm where I grew up was so life-giving, so nourishing to me physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, has been stripped. Who wrote the book? What book? What's the name of the book? Or the author of the book? Barry talks about the rape of the land. Here's a good example. The soil, everything, the house, the buildings, everything was stripped to make room for the sewage lagoons, the dump, and whatever's going on there. I don't know what's going on there, but it's stripped. I'm sure you got to wonder, like what happened? What happened? That family farm. Well, my mom and my dad didn't have ownership of the land. And the person who did own it was this business person, got offered from the city of Cameras a bunch of money. And in 1970, we were booted off the farm. The points I want to make is that when you don't control the land, when you don't own the land, it's really hard to control what happens on the land. Okay? When you don't own the land, it's really hard to control what happens on the land. My dad could not control what happened on this family farm, that man that he gave his life to, because he didn't own the land. And also now, if you're to go back to that spot, and you're to take a helicopter and just sort of hover above there, and what you would now see, you wouldn't see any family farms. We have all been dispersed, okay? We have all been dispersed. What you would see in the springtime, you're not going to see any cattle, pigs, chickens. I don't even know if you're going to see any gardens. All the people are gone. The farm sites are, people are still living there. You're not going to see the same yard light, but they're not farmers. I'm not sure if they know one another. In the springtime, what you're going to see is big pieces of equipment rolling in. First of all, what you're going to see is a big sprayer rolling in. Modern farming is interesting. If you're a big farmer now, a piece of equipment that you got to have, it's a must now, are these massive sprayers. Like, they got like 90 to 120 feet booms, right? You see them going down the road, they look like alien objects. I was talking to a farmer from the Eastland this summer, and he said, we're now going over the land 7 times with spray. 7 times. Either herbicides or fungicides. And folks, you know, herbicides get sprayed now, and a few days later that grain gets harvested. Boy, has the chemicalization of farming ever taken over farming.
So you're going to see in the springtime a sprayer coming in and spraying. You're going to see this other massive piece of equipment coming in and putting the crop in. And then you're going to see the sprayer coming back and again and again and again. And then you're going to see a great big combine come in and take off the grain. And it's going to be loaded onto semi-trailers. And in a short time, that grain is put on a boat. You sort of hear what's happened in, what, 40 years? Where's the community? It's gone.
You know, no pigs, no cattle, no horses, no chickens, no family farms, community hall's gone. And there's these massive pieces of equipment. And they're gone. When my family had to leave this land, okay? So this land, this family farm that I grew up on was lost due to external forces. So we left, and my parents bought a bear quarter land 4 miles out. The bear quarter land, and my dad's like in his early 50s at this time, okay? And he put his neck on the line and went to the bank and got a loan and bought a bear quarter of land. And we started building up a family farm. Jim, I'll show the next slide. So, in 1970, this was a bear quarter of land. All these trees were twigs that I had the privilege planting, the privilege of hoeing, the privilege of watering. Look at this garden. Okay. That was a garden that sustained three families. Okay? Three families lived off of this garden right there. And then back there is the hog operation that we as a family built up. This is a picture right here of Malang Family Farm. In the mid-80s, that farming operation received an award for four consecutive years. This farm here was ranked in the top 20 hog farms in all of Alberta. I think at that time there were over 1,600 hog farms. This farm right here was ranked in top 20 hog farms in all of Alberta. And a significant achievement for a young farmer. My dad was a good farmer. And he taught me how to work. And I could not have been happier. I could not have been happier to continue to grow up on this farm. Could not have been happier to get done at Olds College where I could come back and finally do what I'd always wanted to do. And man, that was just farm. And I got married, started to have kids. In 93, my dad died. And it wasn't pleasant. I would then buy this farm from my mom. Now, I own this farm. So now there's me owning this farm. And we've got a young family. Man, I couldn't have been happier continuing this farming operation with my kids. In the 90s, things would start to get harder financially. And you'd start to see the writing on the wall that maybe being an intensive livestock operation wasn't necessarily the best thing, the most viable thing. And we started to raise chickens and turkeys outside. And we raised chickens and turkeys, as Dietmar mentioned. We fed them and we raised them in movable shelters, developed the five principles of ethical farming. We fed them a vegetarian drug-free diet. We fed them garlic and diatomaceous earth, alfalfa, and they got access to sunlight and fresh air. And we raised them like in this area that was all yellow.
And 1 year we had a bunch out there. And 1 year we raised 3,000 chickens and 300 turkeys, and we marketed all this food directly to people. And man, was that a lot of fun to do as the kids are growing up. 2001, this farm received an award. 2000, Alberta SPCA Farmer of the Year. Alberta SPCA Farmer of the Year. Significant achievement. Came off of this land, or came out of this land. And how much fun, I got to tell you, it was. See that steel building? We had pigs in there, and the camera crew came from Toronto and set up a camera in there and did a story. And I was interviewed by, either his last name was Kelly or his first name was Kelly in Toronto, and we did a story there. At Discovery, CA came and did a story. And the high point for me was the Nature of Things came and did a story about what we're doing. And what David Suzuki wanted to know is, why are you doing what you're doing? And I didn't use these words then, but it sure would have been fitting, because it's life-giving. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because it was life-giving. That was in 2000. Last night I took a picture, and I stood right there, okay? Is that where I stood? Denmark, next picture. Oh, there's another picture of the farm. I look at that picture, and what do I see? Vibrant. That's a farm that's vibrant. Okay? Picture of Denmark from last night. There it is. Okay? There's the laneway. That's what the land looks like now. See those four towers right there? Denmark, take the next picture. Okay. So, where those towers are, like the barn would have been like right about in there. You're not going to get this, but can I tell you what's in those eight towers? Liquid fertilizer. Those towers are full of liquid fertilizer. That chunk, there's a building going up right there. That is going to be a 80 by 400 foot concrete structure to hold what? Dry fertilizer. It's owned by Andruco Fertilizer out of Don O'Reilly. Next picture, Deborah. Okay, you see what's going on here? So you know, these towers are over here. There's this big office building going on up there. Not sure what that's about. This area right over here is owned by Mustang Well Servicing. Okay? It's a company that when a well is drilled, they go in and they service the well. So, okay, so to the left, you got the oil and gas industry. To the right, you got corporate agribusiness. Denmark, do you see any kind of irony in this? Huh? I hope you don't get offended by this, but I just got to say, what the fuck? What the fuck? What happened? How does land? How does land that produces such good food? How does land that produces the SPCA Farmer of the Year? How does land that produces three exceptional children? How does land that is vibrant and life-giving, that whole area has been stripped. It's been stripped. There is not a single sign of anything related to my family farm, it's been stripped. Anything that my parents and my siblings and I and my family built, they just dug a big hole and pushed it all in there.
Stripped.
Leveled up. It's now an industrial subdivision. I have no idea what else is going on up there, but the landscape to the west is sure changing. Because I continue to live in this house with my son.